Hello friends, Danny Bate-Orr here. Just a quick note, this episode was originally recorded in 2020, but we think it's still very relevant. Enjoy the episode. Thank you. One more second or two more seconds, recording is already starting. Perfect. All right. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. Good evening. Working on my end. Good to see you guys. We do this session on a weekly basis or almost weekly basis. To engage with you about different topics related to real estate investing and, possibly get a feedback from you, and educate and collaborate. I'm Danny here from Southern California, and we always have people, joining us on the live from multiple locations. So that's always an awesome, tool. Tool to use. Just want to mention that this is being recorded in three channels. It is on Facebook right here. It is on YouTube, which is a little bit, to the left, and also on our podcast. So if you want to consume this information or you missed a chapter or session, you can always go to any one of those three, channels and, benefit from the knowledge, benefit from the conversation, that we're putting out there for you to become better investors. Before we start with today's topic, I just want to mention for those of you who live in the Bay Area, I'm going to be speaking in the Bay Area, February, 5th and 6th, which is a Wednesday and a Thursday, one evening in Sunnyvale. One evening is going to be in English and the second evening is going to be in Hebrew. So you are most welcome to join either one. Fair warning, if you're not native Hebrew speaker, you probably want to join the English session and not the Hebrew session, of course. And by the way, there's another third lecture being organized by someone who invited me to speak on the Tuesday before in the East Bay. And if you're actually in the East Bay and you want to join that, it's not public, it's not public information, it's not posted anywhere. And you're listening to this, you just send me an email or get in touch with me and I will see if I can get you in. This is more of a smaller group, intimate group. So it's kind of not open to the public per se, but probably we can get something happen based on seats, of course. So let me put just the link to register, or I'll try to put the link to register. Yep, I will try. Okay, hopefully it will happen eventually. Today we're going to talk about ownership, how to take ownership to your property. And the classical question that comes from investors throughout my entire career is always going to be, do I need to buy it as an LLC or my name? Should I buy it? How should I buy it? And I think there's a lot of, I don't want to say confusion, but there's a lot of scenarios and a lot of options out there for investors. And I don't think it's a clear-cut answer. It really depends on a few things we're going to cover in a second. But before I start, if you are willing to share, I'll be very much interested to hear from you. What are you doing on your end? And if you can also mention, listen, for my, when I buy this kind of a prime investment, I use my own name, or when I make this kind of an investment, I actually use an entity. That would be an interesting conversation, interesting feedback to hear from you. What are you doing? And maybe even say why you decided to do one way or another. So that will be terrific kind of input. While I'm speaking, I'm trying to also put the link to the registration for the Bay Area lectures. And Facebook is not being very friendly, unfortunately. So let's kind of let's talk about that for a second. Let me start by saying that in my entire career, well, let me put it this way. I spoke to a new couple, wanted to kind of see if they it's a good fit to work with us with Simply Do It about a month ago. And he sends an email, you know, before we meet and say, listen, the most important thing to me is that I own real estate, not under my own name. It's got to be in a different way. He did not explain at that point, you know, why, although I suspect I know, but he didn't really elaborate. And we get on the phone and he explains to me what's the reasons behind his objective here. And I clearly told him, listen, there's a couple of things, you know, why you should, how you can go about buying real estate not under your own name. But if you're looking to buy rental properties long-term in good areas with a mortgage, it's going to be, you're going to be losing some benefits. You're going to be not working with conventional banks and you're not going to be getting those great mortgages and, you know, and programs, mortgage and financing. And that will actually eat into your success. And then you kind of start thinking about it and say, oh, I wasn't aware of that. I just wanted to not have them under my own name. So how can we do that? And there are ways to go about it. And we dove into that. And I think the end of the conversation was for him, okay, I got to rethink the entire concept or idea or approach of buying in an entity. That's him saying. So let's cover, first of all, you know, important disclaimer. I come to this conversation just from experience. And I come to this conversation from doing this for many years. Obviously, I'm not an attorney and I don't know, you know, I don't want to give any advice whatsoever how to hold, and there are different, you know, situations. So just, you know, what I would want you to take from this conversation is kind of the pointers, thinking points or pointers or thing you can go in. And when you talk to the, to your attorney about this idea, you have some thoughts and specific questions and you're not just coming in like, okay, whatever you say, you have a little bit more of an intelligent conversation. I think, let me start by saying that in my opinion, there is a big misconception or misunderstanding of what we call LLC in the scheme of real estate investing. And what I mean by that, I think it all starts with educators, aka attorneys, going in rooms, the real estate investment rooms, clubs, etc., educating about the concept of LLCs and entities. And when I say educating, I actually mean marketing their program through putting fear into the audience. That's what it usually looks like. And then people come out of this, a room after they heard an attorney who says, you must buy with an LLC. Otherwise, you're going to get sued and your life is going to be over. And that's usually the tone. And when you, in the US, when you say lawsuit, everybody jumps. Right, everybody knows everybody's suing everybody all the time, right? That's usually how it goes. Not true, or not fully true. And that's something that people just take, you know, at face value. And they go out, and what I've seen over the years is like people go out, they first set up an LLC, they go through their attorney, they pay their attorney $1,500, which is discounted from the normal fee, tonight special $2,500, today is only $1,500. The attorney sets up everything for them, sets up the LLC. And then many times nothing happens. Where's the property? Where's the investment? Why aren't you doing investing? Why are you busy with LLCs and entities and not busy with investing? And that's very common practice that I've seen over the years. Now, it's not always the case. Some people really go about it methodically. They set up the LLC, they start buying properties or an entity, and that's fine. But many times people put a lot of time, energy, and not to mention money into that aspect without actually investing at all, or it takes them more time to invest, or when they actually come and start looking into investment properties, they get discouraged because it's difficult. Or they find out that when they go to the to buy property with a mortgage, the bank goes back to them and says, sorry, I'm only lending to an individual. I'm not lending to an entity. So no loan for you. And they're like, oh, I can't buy a house through my LLC because the bank won't give me loans. So let's kind of think about this for a second. And I would say if you're debating about this concept of LLC altogether, I would want you to be a little bit more knowledgeable about it and debate it in the right way. And what do I mean? First of all, in my opinion, and you don't have to agree with it, it's not a yes and no type of a question or answer. It's a question issue that needs to be discussed on a specific case. Specific case is you, and specific case is the type of investment. For example, if you are buying cash and you're doing a flip by yourself, that makes more sense to do, you know, an LLC. Even when you use hard money loans, they would probably even prefer that you do it through an LLC. So that's a certain situation. If you're buying low-end properties, rental properties for $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in not-so-good areas, and you're buying it cash, it does make sense to me that you would do it through some entity, right? Some asset protection mechanism. When you're buying a nice rental property in a middle class, upper middle class, lower middle class type of area, good schools, like what we do, you know, 99% of our time, and you're attracting nice, good tenants, and you manage it professionally with a property manager or by yourself, and you take care of the property, the justification for an LLC becomes less, you know, apparent, okay? Because in this scenario, right, this middle-class house in a nice area that you're going to manage and you're not going to be, a bad-behaving type of an owner, and you're going to be, taking care of it or your property manager, and buying it with a mortgage, usually this type of an investment does not call for an LLC automatically. You can, it's okay, but it wouldn't be your first choice. Now, okay, so we're having some issues with the Wi-Fi here. I'm going to continue. Hopefully, that'll be fine and reconnect. I don't want to stop the flow. So I took a break for a minute or for a few seconds, but let's resume the conversation. So if you are looking to buy that type of a rental property, and you are buying it with a mortgage, you'll be very much, you know, surprised, or to your surprise, the lender won't give you loan to buy that property if you buy through an LLC. Now, can you go and find a loan that will do it for, you know, to the LLC to buy that rental property? The simple answer is yes. The real answer is going to be super difficult to find that lender that is willing to do this type of a loan, right? They exist, but they're very hard to find. Their program or lending programs are typically a little bit higher rate and higher down payment. So all of a sudden, the loan itself becomes less attractive. And what did you find? That you end up buying a property for less favorable, you know, terms or financial terms, which are affecting your investment. So all of a sudden, the whole idea of the entity or the LLC is less apparent. So now what I want you to do is I want you to think about it and say, okay, do I need an LLC for this investment or not? What kind of a setting am I investing in? If I'm buying, raising money and working with few friends, they're just not even raising money, just four friends of us, getting together to buy an investment property, probably it will make more sense to do some sort of an entity than partnership on paper. Probably, right? Doesn't have to be, but that calls for that situation. Now, I want to mention something very, very important that kind of bothers me over the years quite a bit. When I, most of the time when I talk to investors about this concept of LLC, when that question comes up, and by the way, it always comes up. It's the number one asked question. I've been speaking in front of real estate groups, rooms, lectures, multiple area locations in the country, in Israel, you know, online, offline, doesn't matter. It's maybe the one question that always, always comes up. And what I found to be quite interesting is that most of the times when I ask people, why do you want to use an LLC? The answer is, well, for asset protection. It's like, okay, what are you protecting? Well, if something happens with the tenant and the tenant sues me, I'm protected. Well, let me shed some light on that, that point for a second. Number one, since I've been, let's just say I have a little bit of a side quest. My little side quest is to find that story of an owner that something happened and the LLC either saved him or didn't save him. So if he lost everything, but if there was an LLC, he would have been protected. And every stage, because this question all comes up, that I speak, every opportunity that I speak about this topic, I ask, and I ask you too. By the way, I do. Really. Anyone here knows of a situation, of a story, that there was a lawsuit against the owner from the tenant or something similar, and the tenant was protected by the LLC or not protected by the LLC, right? Now, to date, I have asked this question in front of many, many crowds, many opportunities, colleagues, friends, people from the industry. And actually, I have one story. I do have one story. Finally, you know, a few years ago, someone approached me and said, you know, and by the way, I'm looking for the personal story, not I heard of a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend that his friend and his cousin got sued. No, that's not a story. That's a rumor. Okay, I want details. I want the actual details. I want to hear from you. By the way, if you have that, put it in. Write it. Text it to me. Send it to me. I'm really interested. If you're listening on the podcast, let me know. If you're listening on YouTube, let me know. I'm really interested to know. Now, one time in an event in the Bay Area, a couple that I know that invested not with us, but they still invested in a house in Colorado, raised their hand and said, we have a story, our story. I said, do you mind sharing? I said, absolutely. We had someone cross the loan, you know, some random person off our rental property somewhere in Colorado and fell and broke his leg and sued us. I said, okay, tell me, you lost the house? He says, no, you got bankrupt. You got what? He says, no, you know what happened? He sued us for $50,000. We didn't have an LLC. We had insurance. We called the insurance and they settled with him for $25,000 and that was the end of it. So, interesting. So finally, a story. And here's what happened. You know, there's insurance and the insurance kicked in and they took care of it and etc. Now, why am I telling you this? For two reasons. First of all, the fact that I'm having a hard time finding that story, and I'm really trying to find it, and I'm sure it exists, by the way. I'm sure it exists. I'm not at all thinking this is never going to happen, never happen. I'm sure it does. But the fact that I'm having a hard time for so many years, more than 10 years, finding that story and really, you know, kind of seeing how the LLC saved the day, tells me the probability of this is pretty low. Not in every instance, but in the instance that I'm talking about, nice rental property in a nice area, well managed, well taken care of, it is just a lower probability. It could happen. But even when it happens and something happens, you know, there's insurance and maybe you have an umbrella insurance on the top of that. So there's some protection you can take without even looking into the LLC. Now, ideally, do you want to have the LLC with everything that I said as another layer of protection? Yes, it's another insurance policy, right? Or so. So the, you know, with insurance, it's a necessary devil. There is never enough insurance we can take, right? There's always something more we can add as an insurance, and layers and layers and layers. So yes, do I think you will be much better off, protected, safe if you have an LLC? Absolutely. It has add more insurance. You know what? It's just like saying, you know, I'll take, you know, I'll have a, you know, a policy on the property, an insurance policy on the property, and then I'm going to have a first umbrella and a second umbrella, and I will even increase the liability on my property insurance. There's always things you can do, add more. So LLC would probably help. But with the LLC comes challenges. The challenges are there's cost to set it up. There's ongoing cost to maintain it with states and with tax returns. So it adds a little bit. It's not horrific. Maybe in some states it's super expensive, but most are not that horrible. But there's cost to it, right? You have to understand it. Then there's a hustle. And you have to maintain the bank account, and you have to do the EIN. All those things are not complicated, they're not difficult, but it creates more hustle, trouble, noise in the system, right? So that's first. Second, if you don't have a property in your LLC, but you're still not taking good care of your property, if it comes to court, there may be a situation where a judge says the LLC is not in effect. That can happen. Right? And again, I'm not an attorney. I don't know when and what, but I want to make you think about it and not, you know, the way I see it in many respects, in many, many aspects or many conversation, it seems like the LLC is on a pedestal. Woohoo! My house is an LLC. I'm good. No. Maybe it's not the right thing. Maybe it is the right thing. And even if it's the right thing, you know, if things are not done properly, it may not act as an LLC. That may not result in what you're looking for. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about this concept of LLC. To summarize this session, right? And for some reason, I think my Facebook is died on me, unfortunately. To summarize this session, I would say you have to think about it from two type, you know, there's two kind of questions you should probably think when it comes to the LLC. One, what kind of an investment am I making? And is this type of an investment requires or there's more need for the LLC structure? For example, a flip, partnership, low-end properties, and maybe others, right? Development, I don't know, there's maybe others, I mean, commercial, absolutely. Second, what am I looking for? What do I need? Why do I need the LLC? Is it asset protection? Or maybe there's another reason, right? And if you decide for all reasons, this is in your best interest for one reason or another, that's fine, right? You just have to understand it comes with a tax rise. The cost of the LLC, the hustle of the LLC, the you know, maybe the losing the attractive mortgages, etc. Maybe you have to be a little bit more creative on how you take ownership. There's solutions to everything, but the important thing is, for me, what I want you to take from this session is to at least think about it, not jump, just say immediately yes, you know, yes to an LLC. And especially when you go and you take and you go in and have a consult with an attorney about this topic, who will always tell you have to do everything with an LLC because that's how they're trained, and it's fine, right? Just know to ask some questions, right? Tough questions, and then make your decision. And that's what I want you to kind of take from this session, is to think about it and see the benefits and see the, you know, kind of see the disadvantages and advantages, and at least be a little bit more knowledgeable and equipped with information to make that decision, or when you interact with others about the topic. Now, I will say about interacting with others, when you talk to other people, people are very good with volunteering their advices. And I want to suggest one thing. When you talk to someone all together, but you know, especially in real estate, and kind of seek their advice, ask their experience, what their experience is. See, several years ago, after one of the lectures I did in, you know, in Mountain View, a lady comes up to me and she says, "Oh, Danny, how much does your property manager charges?" And I said, "Well, you know, the property managers we work with around the country, they charge about 8% a month, you know, depends on which one, which area, etc. Well, but on average, about 8% a month. And she said, 8%? Wow! That's so expensive. And I'm like, oh, it is? Why, how much are you paying? Oh, I don't own any properties. What is this so expensive? Why are you having this conversation? Why are you even having this conversation with me? So I've over the years noticed that when I engage in conversations, very quickly I want to understand what the experience of the person I'm speaking with, so I can value their opinion or not necessarily value their opinion. Because people talk, big talk, but not always walk the walk. And when you are listening to someone's advice, if they're full of advices, what I have learned is many times they attend events and they're just copy pasting what they heard. And they're not really giving you an experience based, advice. They're giving you something they've heard, which could be right, but could be also incorrect. So check on that. Don't just take advices from people. I would even say when you talk to an attorney, if you get to that point about the concept of entities and asset protection and LLCs, etc., ask the attorney, what's your experience with real estate? How many houses do you own, or roughly, or how many transactions have you done? And at least get a sense of that. I think it will give you a lot of confidence if you can trust someone's advice or not. So on that note, I want to thank everyone for joining. I really apologize if the Facebook is not working. I think it kind of crashed on us. That's the second time that happened. I don't know if it's Facebook or the Wi-Fi, but I just want you to still want to thank you guys. If you are on Facebook and lost the connection, by all means, jump right to the podcast or YouTube. I'll put the link so you can catch up on the information. Thank you very much, everyone. Please register to the events I'm holding or giving, the lectures, the classes. It's mostly educational classes. It's mainly educational classes in February in Sunnyvale. Hope to see you soon in person. Hope to see you soon online. Next week I'm traveling, so we'll skip a week. See you soon, everyone. Bye-bye and Shabbat Shalom.